Well, hello, everybody. This is Robert Carter, along with Kevin Chow again this evening. And Kevin, thanks for coming back to part two of iOS 5, the iPhone 4S, and whatever else we can think of to say about all this new technology.
Thank you very much, Robert. Look forward to spending the next little while talking about all the cool things with iOS 5 and the iPhone 4S and much more.
Yeah, if any of you haven't heard it, we did a part one of this podcast where we covered a whole lot of things about iOS 5. And so I encourage you to go back and listen to that one if you haven't, because it really kind of outlines the basics. And we're going to move on from that to talk about a couple of really exciting features. One of them is a new way of pulling news items together called the newsstand. What is this newsstand thing, Kevin? What's it all about?
So I think it's really the next step as far as how people are going to consume and interact with newspapers and magazines. We're really moving away from the traditional classic ideology of newspapers and magazines. And so on any iOS 5 device, on your first page by default, you're going to have an item called Newsstand. And in here, if you don't have any apps that by default, you're going to have a store button, and you can go in there and just browse around, see the different newspaper and magazine apps that will work, and go ahead and select them. For the most part, all these various apps are free, and they'll go ahead and just switch over to your newsstand folder. And this whole concept of newspaper magazine apps isn't exactly new, and some of these apps have existed in the past, such as the New York Times. So if you already have it, and if you when you upgrade to iOS 5, it will automatically move from wherever you had that app, and it will place it in a newsstand folder.
Yes, that's what happened to me. When I installed iOS 5, my New York Times app was no longer in my news folder that where I'd put it, but it was moved automatically to the newsstand folder. So that's one thing people might want to pay attention to is if you're missing a news app, go look for it in the newsstand.
I've tried probably about a dozen iOS 5 newsstand apps from a whole bunch of different publications, from Wired to GQ and just a whole bunch of other ones, really. And my overall experience has been that both on the iPad and iPhone, that there's a fair amount of work yet to be done as far as educating and advocating and encouraging these publications and publishers and content producers to be aware of the various resources and tools and documentation that Apple has provided that says how to make these types of rich interactive multimedia content accessible.
So, sounds like what you're saying is the newsstand is a great thing for someone who doesn't need accessibility, but for those of us who are blind or have other disabilities, sounds like your experience has been that a lot of the content isn't very accessible.
Yeah, that's correct. Pretty much the newsstand and browsing around for different publications, that part works absolutely fine. And for the most part, viewing the various issues, the listing of them, and seeing the details as far as the name of this issue and the prices and the options to subscribe and purchase and so forth, all that works very well. But the trouble lies in once you actually purchase these various issues, and they range from $1.99 up to $6 or so. So for the dozen or so I tried, I was curious enough to go ahead and purchase various issues to kind of do a cross comparison across various newsstand apps to see if it was an isolated case of is it only this specific publication that's inaccessible, or is it something that's quite universal? And my experience has been that one of three things has happened once I actually try to read an issue. The first one I encountered with the Wired app is once I actually brought up an issue, VoiceOver would only read button, button, button. So just the entire issue screen was completely inaccessible. Another example I had, and I can't recall exactly which app, but the entire screen would be, as far as VoiceOver is concerned, just empty. So you can touch and swipe around, and it would just make a stunk sound.
Yeah, and that's really disappointing. Just to make sure that I kind of understand, it sounds to me like Apple did its part to make the newsstand app itself accessible. You can see the list of publications. You can use the app with VoiceOver just fine. From what you were telling me before, it sounds like the New York Times app is accessible on the iPhone, but not on the iPad. So there's not even consistency in the apps among the different devices, it sounds like.
It seems that on the iPad that publishers and content producers and so forth are trying to be more creative and imaginative, and unfortunately that seems to result in less accessibility and, in this case, no accessibility at all. So when I actually bring up an issue in the New York Times on the iPad, in this case, this brings it to the third situation that I've come across, where the app just flat out crashes and just closes and returns to the home screen. And this is only with VoiceOver.
Yeah, that's a real shame. And it looks like, from what you're saying, at least in my mind, it's a significant issue that we really are going to be facing for quite a while, which is how to get these publishers to make their content accessible.
Yeah, I definitely do think that it's a challenge that is quite interesting, and I mean, it's quite complex as well. And going from traditional newspapers and magazines that are have been on paper and in print, it's quite a shame that those were inaccessible. And now we go into this new thing that it's on an accessible platform, iOS, with VoiceOver, but the content producers have failed to do their parts.
Well, we've kind of seen the same thing from people, producers like Amazon. You know, even though the Kindle app will run on the iOS devices, the Kindle content isn't accessible on these devices. So this is a widespread problem, in my opinion.
Just this basic access to information, it's such a significant issue that personally just frustrates me, and I'm doing tons in this area to try to change it, but that's probably a topic for another day.
Yeah, well, I know you're doing a lot, and I really appreciate all you're doing, and we all need to be advocating to these publishers and content providers to try to get them to pay attention to accessibility, because it is such a shame. You know, there's nothing like the disappointment of having this lovely newsstand that works fine. You know, you can walk up to the door of this beautiful library, but you can't get inside, and there's something that's just so not right about that.
I definitely agree. And for the fact that Apple has made lots of improvements as far as the developer sites go, within their Xcode development environment itself, and documentation, videos, and just tons of information regarding kind of this rich content specifically for newsstand developers, they've done everything they possibly could, aside from forcing them to make their app accessible. Everything's available for them. It's just quite saddening.
Yeah, it really is frustrating. If you don't mind, I need to ask my phone a question. How far is it to the moon?
You said, how far is it to the moon? Let me think about that. Okay, go. Input interpretation. Moon distance from Earth. Current result. 239327 miles. Unit conversions. 385159 km. Kilometers. 3.852 times 10 carat 8 meters. Comparisons of distance. Tilde tilde 1.0004 times mean lunar distance. 3.85 times 10 carat 8 m. Tilde tilde 60 times equatorial radius of Earth. 6.37814 times 10 carat 6 m. Corresponding quantities. Light travel time t in vacuum from t equals x slash z. 1.3 seconds. Light travel time t in an optical fiber t equals 1.48 x slash z. 1.9 seconds. Orbital properties. Current distance from Earth. 239327 m. 60.39 r underscore plus. Average distance from Earth. 239200 m. 60.36 r underscore plus. Largest distance from orbit center, 252100, me, 63.61 R underscore, plus. Nearest distance from orbit center, 225600, me, 56.93 R underscore, plus.
Wow, what just happened here, Kevin? I just picked up my phone and asked it how far is it to the moon and got all that information.
Talk about information overload.
Yeah.
But access to information is absolutely incredible with this really cool thing called Siri. That's built into the iPhone 4S and part of iPhone iOS 5. And it's able to connect with a variety of different services, such as Wolfram Alpha, Google Local Search, Yelp, and just a whole bunch of different things within iOS itself, such as Reminder, the phone app, messages, mail, and so forth. And with that specific query that you made as far as asking how far it is to the moon, it used Wolfram Alpha, which pretty much is you're able to ask it all sorts of really cool things, such as the one you did, mathematical things. So you can ask it what's the quadratic formula, you can ask it what's the law of cosine, as well as a whole bunch of other things, really. You can ask it unit conversions. So it's really, you have this virtual assistant that you can ask just about anything and everything, and it provides this full level of interaction, both speech input and output. And it goes much beyond that. You can even, let's say you receive a text message, you can say, read me my last message. And then once it reads it to you, you can say reply to that, and you can go ahead and dictate your response.
So I guess we should back up just a little bit and tell people that this, what I consider to be a fabulous new breakthrough. I believe that this Siri artificial intelligence app is really taking us to the next level of what computing is going to be like in the next 10 or 15 years. But Siri is something that runs only at this point on the iPhone 4S. And it is based on some work that was done for the government to create some artificial intelligence. And what's so cool about it, especially for those of us with disabilities, I think it's cool for anybody, but especially maybe for people with some motor impairment or some difficulty manipulating the touch screen, all you do is simply talk to this app, and you don't have to really train it to understand you. You don't have to speak a certain way or phrase your sentences a certain way. You just ask it what you want to know, and it's smart enough to understand what you're saying and give you back the answer. I mean, really, how cool is that?
It's absolutely incredible. I mean, it's by far one of the biggest, I think, accessibility things that's just integrated. But the fact that, again, you see a very great example where I think where accessibility, if done right, can be integrated and used by the mainstream. I mean, with the iPhone 4S, a lot of people who are really absolutely just enjoy Siri, and I don't think necessarily think of it as an accessibility thing. They just think this is a really cool thing.
Well, I was listening to one of the mainstream Mac podcasts today, I believe, the Mac Jury by Chuck Joyner. And someone on there was talking about the fact that they were doing canning some apples or doing something with apples last weekend. And so they would just press and hold the home button on their iPhone 4S and say, set a timer for 30 minutes. Or say, tell me when 30 minutes is up. And Siri would go ahead and set that timer, and the timer would go off in 30 minutes or whatever amount of time they told it. And so there's no need to go into the clock app and find the timer and set it the way we would have had to do before. You can just even tell it, wake me up at 7 o'clock, and Siri will set an alarm, and your phone, I'll be doing this every morning, will go off at, unfortunately, my time is 5 o'clock, but it'll go off at 5 o'clock, and I didn't have to touch the clock. I just spoke to it. And what I'm finding, Kevin, is that the accuracy of Siri's ability to understand what I'm saying is really pretty good, and it's even pretty good in environments that are a bit noisy. Of course, speech recognition is always more error-prone the noisier the environment you're in. But I got to tell you, I'm pretty darn impressed with what they've done with it so far, and Apple actually considers this version to be a beta. So I think there's just going to be lots and lots of improvement down the road.
Yeah, I pretty much am in full agreement, and it's very impressive that it's able to learn as it goes. So that's part of the artificial intelligence. I think another really cool aspect of Siri is that it personalizes stuff based on the information it knows about you. So it's able to know that someone is your brother or sister, or someone is your girlfriend or boyfriend, or whatever the case is. I mean, you can pretty much tell it all this information, and it will know based on all that, and it knows who you are, and it knows where you live, and stuff like that. I mean, it's all based on the information that it's provided, and I think it's just absolutely just going to mature and be absolutely incredible as it progresses and it knows more information. And once it moves out of the beta stage, it'll be incredible to see how it just moves from there to final.
Yeah, last night I pressed and held the home button and I said, text my son, did you get your bike fixed? ? And Siri came back and said, this is what you're sending to your son. The message was perfect. I just said send, and the text was sent, and my son was able to reply. So it really gives us the capability of sending text messages with voice. It gives us capability of dictating an email with voice, and it does it well enough that it's honestly faster for me and probably a lot of us to dictate something like that than to type it out on the touchscreen keyboard. So, I mean, this just opens up a whole new world for me. I've just enjoyed texting with my son and my wife so much more because now it's so easy to do.
Yeah, I've personally never been a fan of kind of speech recognition and input and all that stuff before. But with the iPhone 4S and Siri and dictation, it's absolutely just made it impressed me greatly, and absolutely just enjoy speech recognition and just how accurate it is and how it's able to learn over time. And I guess that goes on to the next thing as far as this dictation integration. So within any text field, wherever you have the keyboard, to the left of the spacebar, you have a speaker button. And you can activate this button with a split tap or double tap, and it'll make a sound indicating that it's ready to listen, and you can go ahead and just dictate your message. And if people are familiar with dragging dictation and the syntax it uses as far as new line, new paragraph, question mark, exclamation mark, and so forth, and whatever symbols people need to use at that time, it understands all of that. And there's two ways that you can stop the dictation. You can go ahead and slide your finger to the stop button to the left of the spacebar, or you can do a two-finger double tap.
So if you're in the Notes app, for example, and you're writing a note, you can just dictate it rather than type it on the keyboard. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So anywhere there's a keyboard, such as notes or mail, messages, reminders, and so forth, it's quite powerful.
Yeah, that's really one of my favorite applications at this point for using Siri is the Reminders app, because you can simply say to it, remind me to call mother when I get home. And when you pull up to your house, you're going to get a reminder that says call your mother. And that's going to make moms all over the world happy, don't you think?
Oh, I definitely agree. And it's quite cool, too. I mean, let's say you have your hands full and you can't quite necessarily push and hold down the home button. You can actually just hold your iPhone 4S to your ear and Siri will listen to you.
Right, as long as your phone's unlocked, you can just hold it up and the proximity sensor will pick up that that's what you're doing and Siri will come right up. So it's really great first effort, I think. And I was excited when we started hearing about Siri and the demos that Apple did when they introduced the iPhone 4S. And I have to be honest, it has not disappointed me. I will say that one of the potential downsides maybe for some people in using Siri is that you do have to have an internet connection because Siri depends on sending information out to the internet and getting information from the internet, and it really won't work at all in my experience if you don't have an internet connection. So that's not a big problem for most of us because usually either you're on 3G or on Wi-Fi, but if you're in a situation where you don't have an internet connection or if you're in a situation where the Siri servers are really busy, really bogged down with 4 million people playing with Siri all at the same time, you may get a nice little message that says, sorry, can't connect right now, try again later. I don't think we'll see that very often as Apple ramps up its servers and as people start probably playing with Siri maybe a little less than they are right now. But those are a couple of small downsides that I've found to it. Have you discovered anything that you don't like about it or that you're disappointed in as far as Siri goes?
There's a few kind of odd quirks as far as Siri. It sometimes gets locked up depending on how soon you press the home button, and sometimes VoiceOver will get caught in a loop or something like that.
Yeah.
But those, I mean, are almost to be expected given that it's a beta, it's very new. But, I mean, overall, though, this even though Siri servers and stuff like that were down a few times within the first 24 hours or so of the iPhone 4S being available, it's been absolutely solid since. And, I mean, sure, in regards to the requirement of having the internet, I actually don't view that as a negative because with these mobile devices, such as the iPhone 4S, you really don't want to be without the internet connection. It's not necessarily your ability to access information is quite limited without the internet.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, even at this point, this very early stage, I would, without question, recommend Siri to someone. If someone's thinking about getting an iPhone 4S and they said to me, is Siri really worth it? I'd say yes, even today.
Oh, yeah, I'm full in agreement. I mean, just about all things have their former quirks, but just outweighing the various possibilities and how well it works and how stable it is and just how great the experience is overall, Siri and dictation are absolutely worth it. It would be good to go on to the changes, enhancements, and fixes in iOS 5 that are probably more, for the most part, transparent, but be good to talk about.
Well, let's jump right into that. Tell us some of these changes, and we'll discuss them a little bit.
So if people are using the UK voice, they would notice that the Serena voice is no longer available, and they've made, from as far as the English voices go, the first and only male voice, and that being Daniel.
Yeah, I heard the Daniel voice. I actually have it on my phone because I have the rotor set to allow me to switch between American, Australian, and British English. And the Daniel voice is okay. I mean, I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. The next thing is they've slightly decreased the navigational sounds that accompany VoiceOver. So when you're swiping or changing pages, those sounds have been slightly decreased. And I actually view this as a welcome change. It just sounds just overall better.
Yeah, one thing that's a little odd to me about that, I've noticed that the sounds are still plenty loud in my headphones are plenty loud in the phone speaker itself, built-in speaker. But if I plug a set of external speakers into my phone, those voiceover navigation sounds get very, very soft. And I can't figure out why there's such a difference between what I hear in headphones and a pair of external speakers. That just seems odd to me. I'm pretty sure it's related to this, the fact that the volume of the sounds have been lowered.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how the different environments plays a difference here. And I've kind of noticed something somewhat similar. When you're within any web view, such as Safari or Mail and so forth, when you're cycling through the web router, VoiceOver will speak the number of items. So, for example, it will say headings, 5 items, or 5 headings.
Oh, so it'll tell you how many headings are on the page.
Correct.
Well, that's nice. I mean, that's good information to have. I think it will tell you up to a certain point, but if there are too many, it'll just say there's a bunch of them or something like that.
Yeah, it'll say mini headings or something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least it gives you an idea when it's a reasonable number, so you just have a general overview. And I think that kind of nicely ties into the next thing as far as within any app such as TweetList, it'll probably give you 2 kind of information. It'll tell you if a control is a tab, and it'll provide you a tab index. So, for example, with the home button, it'll say something like home button, tab 1 of 5.
Yeah, that is nice because you really get a good idea of how many tabs you got on the page and a bit about how it's laid out.
In regards to the iPad, there has always been a sound and this idea of containers. Pretty much there are significant regions or areas of the screen. They've kind of taken that to the next level. And if you're in Safari or any HTML area, when you're either touching or navigating in and out of any of these significant areas, such as a table or navigation frame and many other significant areas on the web page, it'll provide a sound indicating that you're entering and exiting this region.
Do you find that to be helpful?
It's a nice touch, and it is helpful.
Yeah, it's not a huge deal, but it seems like a nice thing to have happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that it went from being impossible to navigate web pages to all of a sudden being possible, but it is a nice touch and definitely appreciated. A few things in regards to kind of accessibility settings. There was kind of a really odd and rare issue, but quite alarming when it did occur. In iOS 4.x, just randomly, your accessibility settings, including VoiceOver settings and VoiceOver being on and triple click home, would just randomly be kind of destroyed and lost.
Yeah, and then your phone doesn't say anything.
Yeah, so you're left with a kind of really nice device that is temporarily inaccessible.
Exactly.
So they've eliminated that, and now it's completely fixed. I've not seen that issue at all on several of my iOS 5 devices, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's one thing I have to say. In my experience over the last week is I can't think of a single bug that I was frustrated with that seems to still be there in iOS 5. I mean, I'm sure there are a few. Of course, there always are. But, I mean, they really did a good job of nailing those things that were annoying me. So I know, of course, the world's all about me, so I'm sure that's why they did it. But, you know, it's just really great how much they fixed.
Oh, yeah. And I guess, I mean, to move on towards that theme of the world's all about me, I was a part of the whole iOS 5 beta development cycle and found way too many bugs, but they did address a lot of the bugs I raised, and I was just absolutely just marveled by their responsiveness and their willingness to communicate and address all these things. I mean, absolutely just incredible.
It makes me realize that Apple has taken accessibility seriously.
Definitely. And another nice kind of thing is screen curtain with VoiceOver. There were some situations where if you restarted your device or VoiceOver, sometimes screen curtain would revert to turning off. And now that's no longer the case. Pretty much if you have screen current on, you always have screen current on until you turn it off.
That's a good thing, because I think people got confused sometimes whether it was on or off.
Yeah, and that kind of had battery issues and privacy issues and all that stuff. So that's very good that that's all resolved. Another nice thing that I view kind of robustly sort of things, I view them as within Safari and web views, after a page is loaded, it no longer says website loaded. You can just pretty much interact with the content and you don't have to hear a message saying that it's done.
That's a lot more efficient.
Another thing on long lines of efficiency, if you're in Safari, if you're going to a web address, and if you have VoiceOver Focus on the address bar, let's say you're going to apple.com, before it would say something like address bar, apple.com, loading 20%, address bar, apple.com, loading 30%. That's all quite verbose. They've managed to pare it down to just the essential information, so now you hear 20%, 30%.
Yeah, that's some of that polishing we were talking about last time where they've just made it a lot more classy.
Definitely. Another kind of polish is when you're in Safari, if you are tab browsing, and if you have before, if you had anything fewer than two tabs, it would always report two tabs. But now you can have one or no tabs open, and it would report the information correctly.
I like the fact that they brought the read button that we've had on the Mac for a while in Safari. I don't know if we mentioned this before, but it's really nice now if on a lot of web pages you can press the read button and only get the text of the article that you're trying to read on the screen, which really makes it much cleaner.
Oh, that's a nice feature, and we actually didn't bring it up. So that's between the address bar and the Google search box. Any page you land on that contains an article, you just hit that button and it just strips out all the ads and all the links and just puts the article front and center.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And alongside that, you actually have this thing called reading list, and it was synchronized across various versions of Safari, so iOS and Mac and so forth. You can just toss a whole bunch of websites into the reading list and view them from any device you choose.
Yeah, that is nice.
Another thing with Safari is now you can perform text selection. So before, you were limited to just text areas. So anything you can type in, now you can just select text using the pinch gestures and the rotor and go and select text. So that's very nice.
That is nice.
Navigating among various HTML elements, so using a web rotor, oftentimes it would report something like heading not found or link not found, even though there are those elements on the page. VoiceOver seems to be a lot more reliable when navigating now.
Oh, it's good to have that cleaned up.
Yeah, and the same sort of concept in multi-line text field. So if you're in an edit box, this it would sometimes truncate messages or read part of a line or no text of a line at all. And now it just seems to be absolutely just working very well. Next thing is kind of in the location services area. There have always been these different color icons indicating if an app's currently using a location service or if it's requested location services in the past 24 hours. Now VoiceOver speak that information next to the app in question.
Gives you a little more idea of how your device is communicating. It might help you troubleshoot battery issues and things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely nice. I mean, it kind of levels the playing field in that that information is available and now it's provided to everyone.
When you think about it, you know, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, this is probably the most significant amount of changes and fixes and new features that I can remember seeing in an iOS release. I mean, I've been excited about all of them, but this one wins the prize as far as I'm concerned, at least as far as the ones we've seen so far, ever since we started having access to the iOS devices with the iPhone 3GS. You know, this upgrade is one that I would definitely encourage everyone to download and install as quickly as you possibly can.
Oh, I'm in full agreement. I've been in iOS device user since the iPhone 3GS with iPhone OS 3, and this one's by far the just biggest leap forward in general to iOS and accessibility. It's absolutely just incredible, really. And there are many devices, iOS devices, that are capable of running iOS 5. And if possible, I would definitely, with no hesitation at all, recommend that people update at their earliest convenience.
Well, this has even inspired me to go and update my wife's iPad 1. She doesn't use the accessibility features, but hey, she deserves iOS 5 too. So I'll get in there and update that thing, if not before, certainly this weekend. Well, Kevin, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this with me, and also all the preparation that you did as a beta tester and putting all this information together for all of us to benefit from. Thank you so much for coming on here and sharing a little bit of yourself with us.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me on.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. I believe that's about everything you could possibly want to know about iOS 5 and even a good bit about the iPhone 4S. This has been Robert and Kevin with the Tech Doctor podcast. Thanks for listening, and so long till next time.